Well, tonight I want to do something I didn't warn you about. You like that, don't you? I'm going to give a presentation of our Latvia trip that we just got back on. And Rebecca, I'll ask her maybe to help me a little bit. You don't mind that, do you? See, sometimes I spring things on her, too. I'm going to, in a minute, we'll look at the slides, but I'm going to just share a short passage of Scripture with you. Jesus, He entered into the synagogue on the Sabbath, and He stood up to read. Now, I know that Jesus knew where the text was going to be that day, and He knew it was time for Him to declare why He had come. He didn't just come into the synagogue and let the Bible fall open where it will, you know, and then decide that He'd put His finger on a text and then He'd preach from that. He knew what He was up to, and this was the will of God for Him. But I also believe that what the will of God is for Jesus is also the will of God for the church. And you'll understand that when I read this text. So, if you want to turn to Luke 5, you can, or Luke 4, you can. I'm going to read verses 18 and 19, and just the first part of 20. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, the year of Jubilee." And He closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And so Jesus, He is helping the people of His day. He's helping those first believers, those disciples, as well as those who were not believers, to understand who He is. He said there in verse 21 that what had been written was fulfilled in their hearing. It was fulfilled in their day. What was Jesus' mission on planet Earth? Why did He come? Well, He gave us this outline to preach the gospel to the poor. Jesus was the very best preacher that'll ever live. And when He preached, they spoke about the authority and the power in the words that rolled off of His tongue. He captivated people with His words. Jesus was anointed to preach the gospel to the poor, spiritually poor. I want you to know that everyone here tonight was one of those people at one time or not. If you're not saved, you are still one of those people whom Jesus has come to declare the good news to you. He is declaring tonight that He is life, and in Him is the light of the world. He is your need meter. He is the forgiver of your sins. He is the bread of life. He is the water of life that is free. He's the one who can make you clean. Jesus is salvation. And He came to preach that to the spiritually poor. He gave that task to us, didn't He? To continue on preaching the gospel wherever we are. You know, you're to be a preacher of the gospel in your workplace. You're to be a preacher of the gospel in your schoolhouse. You're to be a preacher of the gospel in your family. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Jesus began that, and it continues with us. But He wasn't just to be a preacher of the gospel to the poor. He was sent to proclaim release to the captives. You know, there's a lot of people that are captive by a lot of different things, aren't there? They are shackled and in bondage. And Jesus has come to set them free. How many of you tonight could stand up and say, Jesus set me free from this, that, or the other? Didn't He? Some of you tonight could say, Jesus set you free from drugs. Jesus set me free from alcohol. Jesus set me free from pornography. Jesus set me free from, you put it in, gambling. You put it in the blank. Jesus has set me free. He has come to break the chains. To break the chains of sin. To break the chains of addiction. Jesus has done that. And He continues to do that. And we are to take on that ministry to help people understand there's freedom in Jesus. The truth will set you free. Not only that, He said He came to recover sight to the blind. Now, of course, this is the spiritually blind, but He also gave sight to the physically blind. And I've heard testimonies of missionaries that I think are legitimate missionaries that have gone to different places in the world and literally have seen sight restored to the blind. That is still happening. But I believe more than that, what the Lord is talking about here tonight is that He has come and is doing a work to open the eyes spiritually of people who cannot see. Did you know tonight that there is approximately 1.5 to 2 billion people, that's with a B, who've never even heard the name of Jesus? They're so spiritually blind. They don't even know the name of Jesus. And Jesus wants us to proclaim that He can give them sight, spiritual eyesight. I mean, He is wanting to open the eyes of blind people right here tonight. And then there's a fourth reason that Jesus came, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, the year of Jubilee. You know, interesting. Every 50th year, everything went back to its original owner under the Israelite law, under God's law. And so, if I was going to borrow something from Dennis, I'd want to borrow it like on year 48. Because then my debt is wiped clear. And you know what Jesus did for us? He redeemed us with the precious blood, His own blood. And we have been completely been paid for. Nothing has to be added to it. It has all been done. It's finished. We have the year of Jubilee every year now. Every year is the year of redemption. It's the year that our debt has been canceled. Aren't you glad you're living in the year of Jubilee? Jesus came to proclaim that. And we shouldn't be quiet about it either. People can be freed from sin. People can be made to see. People can be shared, this wonderful good news that Jesus is alive. Jesus died for their sins, and He is now the Savior of the world. He can save and wants to save anyone and give them redemption. Buy back all of their debt. Cancel it out. And make them a liberated, freed slave. I'm telling you, Jesus is continuing this today. We, as missionaries and as evangelists, we can't keep this to ourselves. We have to share this. And one of the ways that we are attempting to share this is through trips like we're making to Latvia. We are attempting and do share the gospel and get to do it in a church setting. We get to do it in a terminal, in an airport. We get to do it in various ways And I'm just grateful that God has called me to be a preacher, to be a missionary, to be an evangelist. I don't know what I'd do if He hadn't called me to that. I'm grateful that God put His calling on my life. And I hope I never do Him wrong. I don't want to do Him wrong. I want to do what He's called me to do. And so we had the privilege and the opportunity to go and to share with some pastors, to share in the churches, to build the relationships. And I want to say thank you for helping us to get this message across, to accomplish the mission that God's called us to. Thank you for the prayer support. Thank you for the financial support. You have ministered to us and through us, and God will reward you for what you've done. And so you had a huge part in what you're about ready to see. You probably had as big a part in that as any one of us, as anybody that I know. And so thank you for helping us to be a part of our partnership and to get to go over there. And so, Rebecca, would you like to say anything right now, or you want to say something at the end? I gave you 5 or 10 minutes to think about it. At the end, maybe, she said. Well, I've asked Brother Larry or Miss Sue, whoever's Brother Larry's up there, I've asked him to start this, and I'll say a little bit about slides, and we'll kind of give you some commentary on what you're seeing. So let's just start. Let's start and look at these slides. That is their Baptist building, and it's in Riga. And some of those are team members. Some of those are the staff of the Baptist building. We had a wonderful opportunity to meet them and have lunch with them. Then we got to go look at the old Riga that day. So we made a day of it. And then we went out to the retreat center. This is where we spent 3 days with the pastors. And beautiful, beautiful place. You helped us to bring them to that location. And we paid for everything. We paid for the meals, the lodging, everything that they did. They got to come and be a part of this because of this church and others helping us to fund that. I think the next pictures you'll see are the pastors that we served. And it's not a complete list of the pastors. For some reason, we missed a few of them. But you know Ryman's and Agrita, Pastor Bauska, and just a beautiful couple. And this is the new pastor that's coming to a town called Yelgava, which is a sister church to Bauska. I'm not going to try to give you their names. You can decide their names for yourself. And this is Riotus. I do know his name. Great young man, and he's the youth pastor at Yelgava. And this is a pastor and his wife. We're going to help this church when we go back in July. We're going to do Vacation Bible School in Alsace. And they need a lot of help. Another young pastor and his wife. A lot of young pastors, and that's just a blessing to see over there. That they're having some young men called into the ministry. You helped us bring these men and their wives. This guy led the music and just a great old soul. He's a good friend of Ryman's, and he played. He's got a knife. Can you see that? That was a gift we gave him, and boy, he was proud of that knife. It was a buck pocket knife. Made in America, and man, he thought I'd given him a chunk of gold. He was so happy. There's another pastor, and I think you say his name Rudolph's. Great guy, couldn't speak a lick of English, so I had to speak to him through an interpreter, but he's a really kind man. This is Pastor Ryman's assistant at Bauska and his wife Agnesa. Just a beautiful couple. And then you know Linda, and do you remember her, the partner there? They sang duet for us that opening night and gave us a concert to remember. It was wonderful. They did sort of 3 different spring, fall, and winter, or something. Three different programs, a lot of singing. This is the bishop that's gonna take over. Yeah, one back or several back. This fellow's name is Kaspars. I gave you the wrong name. I said Petros, but he's taking over. He's the Anthony Jordan of Latvia. And then the next picture is, it really doesn't look real, but this is a chapel, a stone chapel, and a storm is brewed and coming in. Looked like an Oklahoma storm, actually. And they've this made to look old, but that's a brand new structure. And it's really neat. This is the inside of it. We had the morning devotionals there with the pastors and their wives. It's just a special time and great acoustics. We'd sing in there and made me sound good. This is a Catholic setting, so they got Jesus still on the cross, unfortunately. You can see here in the next few slides the different teaching times. Harry Black's from Union Association up in Oklahoma City, and Dennis Hooper from Cheyenne, Oklahoma, out west. And the guys really fit together like hand in a glove. Each of them were a little different, and so nothing got boring, and everything flowed great. And they loved it. They wanted more. We were out of time. And then the ladies would break off from us, and I'm telling you, they had a couple of suitcases full of gifts that you all helped provide for them. And so they just had gift giving session after gift giving. And these ladies were so grateful. They were, you lavished love on them, and thank you for helping us to do that. Testimony time also. They would speak about how did they help their husbands in ministry, and it helped them to better help their husbands. We all ate at the same table. And they don't pray like we do before meal. They sing a prayer. And it's always the same prayer, but it's kind of neat. Eat a lot of soup and a lot of bread, but it's very delicious. And then that's a mystery dessert. It was good. I ate mine. Another teaching time. That's Buddy from First Baptist Telequal. Buddy did a good job. He's a lot of fun. And then underneath where we were having those teaching times, there was a, I guess it's an old wine room, you know. And we went down there one night for our devotion before bed. It was like 9:30 or 10 o'clock before we got out of there. And the temperature was about 45 degrees down there. It's cold. And then I got to preach to finish it off that Saturday morning. And it was just a really blessing to get to be able to do that. Give them something to go home and chew on. When then we went on Monday and we worked at the church in Bauska, we helped them get that brick wall up. We didn't get it finished, but we got it up quite a ways. They're finishing it so we can set the I-beams and get it ready. There's a picture right there of what it will look like when we get done. That's the side that's complete, the I-beams, and we're going to do the same thing when we go in July. We've moved those bricks like 5 times now, and I'm sure we'll move them again. And that's what they were doing. They were moving the bricks in for us to lay the bricks on the wall. They try to save everything so they don't have to spend that money. The ladies fixed lunch for us while we were working. And then these are just some pictures of Rebecca and I got to spend a couple, 3 days afterwards over there, and we took some pictures out sightseeing, and I think you can kind of get an idea of what the country looks like. This is a church. There are some old churches, really old, like 12th century churches in every town, but they're not attended very well. They're just buildings. Okay, let me tell you about this burger, Larry, just a second right there. That burger, it's got tomato, then a hard fried egg, and then roast beef with onions, and then it's sitting on a bed of relish. And so one night, the guys were hungry, the guys that were working at the church, and he said, I want a double meat hamburger. They brought him out two hamburgers and two orders of fries. That's what you get when you order double meat over there. And it was pretty good. I got to eat half of the one that was left. That's from one of the church towers. We took a picture while we climbed up the tower. And this is Riga. This is the capital city. They're right on the Baltic Sea. And Rebecca and I rode the train. They were worried that we'd get lost or something, but we rode the train by ourselves, and we're here. We're in Oklahoma, so everything turned out okay. And those towers, you know, those huge church towers, clock towers, with the steeple just goes way up into the sky. You know, that's a wooden structure underneath all of that, and underneath that copper, that's a wooden structure that they built in the 12th century. And I mean, those things go hundreds of feet up in the air. It was amazing to me that that was built out of wood. I don't know how they would have done it, how else they'd have done it, but that's how they did it. But we want you to go with us in 2019. It's beautiful. People are very receptive. The Christians are very receptive. And I think we're getting to build, our relationships are built a little more every year, to where now I think the community is starting to accept us. And we're going to be seeing a lot more people saved in the future, because the church is getting reestablished there. And their focus is getting fine-tuned. And so we're just excited about what God is going to allow us to do. Okay. Did you have something you wanted to say? Not really? Hang on here. I don't know who Mary Kay is, but I'm glad we took her. Yeah, that was great. All right. Thank you for helping that to get accomplished. And, of course, we're going back in July. And Cassidy and Emily and there's about 16 of us going in July. We're doing Vacation Bible School at two different locations. And we are doing construction. And in the evenings, we'll do things a little differently in July. In the evenings, we will, the ladies will break off and they'll have time together, and the men will break off and we will fellowship and share our stories with one another, our testimonies. And almost always in those groups, there are lost people. And, we've seen men saved. I don't know about the ladies, but we've seen men saved out of those times together like that at night. And so we're real excited, hopeful that God will do that again. And then we always have young, it's usually teenagers saved at Vacation Bible School. And two Sundays ago, they baptized four teenagers. And that was the highlight of their year, was to get to baptize those four teenagers. Because prior to us coming 2 years ago, they had not baptized anyone in 7 years. And so they've gotten to baptize, I think, about eight in the last 2 years in that church. And they've got others waiting baptism. So it's It's good times for that little church. So thank you. Anybody got a question? That town where we go to has 10,000 people living in it. You'd never believe that. It's not very big. But they've got these old Russian apartments. They're 6 or 7 stories tall. And they put a lot of people in there. And so what seems like a small town is 10,000. I don't know how many people are in Salisaw. 8,000? 8,000. So the town we're going to is about half the size of Salisaw, but more people in population. Other questions? Yes. No. Yeah, that's a good question or a good comment. Ryman's, after we left, the Friday after we left, his company called him in and they fired him and took his car keys and took his computer all the same day. Really without any explanation. He had worked for them for 8 years and always gone above and beyond what they asked. Was one of their best salesmen, was developing a market in Lithuania for waterproofing is what they develop and sell. For structures, for instance, like buildings like this with basements and car parking garages and things like that all over the world. And so he had made one mistake in 8 years and had been written up for that, but he had resolved the mistake. He had taken care of it, and it was in Lithuania where they were building the market. Well, they fired him, and that really turned him on his head. He's having a very difficult time with it. He's trusting the Lord, but it's very difficult for him to understand why this is happening, of course. And he's looking for other work and various things. It's a possibility, folks, that it's persecution, but we don't know that. It's a very, very good and very real possibility. I'll talk to him one-on-one when I get back over there. You don't do that over the phone. But they know where he was at all the time. They know what he is doing. He's working with Baptists from Oklahoma. They understand what's going on, and so it's very possible. So just pray for Ryman's. Pray that God will help him to know what he's supposed to do next, because God's got something for him to do. He's just not sure what it is yet. I do. He was making $3,600 a month. Our dollars. Yeah. Very, very good job. For instance, a CPA makes about $800 a month. It's a lot of money for him. They were very well off for the standard of living. He worked for a global company and traveled a lot. So, anything else? Any other questions? Well, let's have a time of prayer for Latvia, for that church in Bauska, and for Pastor Ryman's, and then we'll let this be our dismissal prayer. If you're visiting with us, we're so happy that you're here tonight. And this is not a usual Sunday night service, I'm sure. It'll be a little different next time you're visiting. But we're grateful to be able to give a report on what God did through this church, through the ministry of this church in Latvia, and what He continues to do. So let's pray together. Our Father, we thank You that You have called us into Your work and called us to places like Latvia, where they're trying to recover from 50 years of communism. And that's a very difficult thing for them. Lord, we thank You that You've placed us in Bauska and that You've helped us to partner with that church there, and we're thankful for the progress that we see being made. And thank you, Lord, for the souls that are being saved there and the baptistry waters being stirred. What an encouraging time this has been for them and for us too. Lord, we're grateful for those pastors in that region, that southwestern region of Latvia that we were able to touch. Their lives have been permanently changed, and we believe it was for the better. Thank you for every teaching moment that we had. Thank you for every gift that was given, the relationships that were built, and for those lives that were encouraged. Some of those pastors might have been on the brink of giving up, and we thank you, Lord, that we were able to just communicate your love to them. Thank you for those pastors' wives that were able to be there and how they were loved on and how they were shown ministry. And some of them needed to be encouraged to help their husband, to help their pastor. And I just pray, Lord, that's what was the outcome. And those churches, the membership that we effectively touched, Lord, we're grateful to you. We pray that you will do mighty things because of our time there and our partnership. Lord, just use us. We want to be clay in your hands. Help us, Lord, as we go back in July. Bless those on the team. May we see fruit for the labor. May we see more souls come into your kingdom. And Father, we just, again, want to praise you for First Baptist Salisaw, for their communicating love, for their prayers, for their financial support. Thank you, Lord, for their encouragement. What a blessing they are. Now just take this time that we've been together and the things that we've heard and the things that we've seen, and may we be a blessing to those around us. Thank you again, Lord, for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.